This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome everyone to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z. I'm Matt Fonsland. I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to make the last or game-winning shot, and I've missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life. And that's why I succeed. That and more after a word from our sponsors, Napa Auto Tech Training and Pico Technology. Napa Auto Tech's team of ASC Master Certified Instructors are conducting over 1,200 classes covering 28 automotive topics. To see a selection, go to NapaAutoTech.com for more details. Tired of guesswork in your auto diagnostics? Need to pinpoint faults quickly and accurately? PicoScope will turn your PC into a powerful diagnostic tool. See live waveforms from sensors, injectors, and ignition systems. See the problem? Solve it faster. Visit PicoAuto.com. That's PicoAuto.com. You may recognize that quote from, a relatively known basketball player. Sorry to go back to basketball. I won't be staying there too terribly long, but he's got the quote. I'm not sure many other, at least off the cuff, I can't think of any other superstar football or hockey or soccer, tennis, whatever, curling athletes there are that had such widespread respect and made such a quote. But that was from none other than Michael Jordan or Air Jordan, MJ. As some of you may refer to him as, six-time world champion. I don't know. It just kind of qualifies what it took to be successful, like getting cut from his high school basketball team, being told he wasn't good enough. And I bring this up not to talk about sports once again, but I do like the correlation between sports and business and auto repair shops, but I also like the correlation of restaurants and many other things to what we do. And I don't know, just things have a lot more in common than we often give credit to. What inspired this, it was really two things. One was on Sunday, the Minnesota Vikings lost to the Chicago Bears. Some of you are jumping up and down or saying, like, hell yeah, and others not so happy, and others could give a rip. I can't say like I care other than reading comments on various forums, social media pages, or groups complaining about the quarterback play of the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, who's essentially a rookie. Yeah, he's in his second year, but he kind of redshirted that first year. He got injured very early on, I think, either in the first game of the season or it might have even been in the preseason. Anyways, he essentially doesn't get to play his first year. We had a really good year last year. Bounced out of the playoffs, which surprises no Vikings fans. I know you Kansas City Chiefs fans and New England Patriot fans, and even honestly, Buffalo Bills fans, I wouldn't want to name names or anything when it comes to Buffalo Bills fans. But they seem somewhat surprised when they get beat. They're not like us Vikings fans who just expect it. And when we win, we're usually in awe. Anyways, he's in his second year, really first year of playing, and he's not having such a great game. It's not horrific, but it's not that good. He's missing passes. His receivers are dropping some passes that looked catchable. Some of them he was firing some pretty good rockets at them. And I get it, they're pros and all that, but whatever, physics. And anyways, that fourth quarter, we have a chance to march down the field, score a touchdown, and essentially win the game. And he does it. He puts away, forgets or puts the previous 3.5 quarters or more, it's really more than 3.5. He had, almost 4 minutes, I think, to score and try not to leave too much time on the clock for them to come back and score, even a field goal. He does it. They do. They march down and they score with, it's under a minute to play. For the most part, he won the game for us, even though he didn't have such a great game. And then, honestly, our special teams and defense let us down. The special teams kicked off to the Bears, and they had a terrific kickoff return, putting them in really good shape. Not field goal range yet. But all of a sudden, it looked like there was a lot of time on that clock. So it went from, we just need a good kickoff or tackle soon after they receive, and then just play some good defense. We didn't do it. We lose the game. And the backlash, and I don't know, maybe backlash is a little dramatic, but there is a lot. There was so many comments about, we need a different quarterback. We should have never got rid of the quarterback we had last year, Sam Darnold, who I don't think had such a great game himself, to be honest, yesterday for his new team. And this kid, I mean, this is essentially his rookie year, and no, we need a new one. What? I'm not saying this guy's a franchise quarterback. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Josh Allen. You know how much that hurts to say? What can you say? Josh Allen's a good quarterback. Top maybe two, three for sure. He's quarterback for the Buffalo Bills for those that don't follow the NFL. Is he the next Patrick Mahomes? Probably not. But could he be a top five quarterback? Top 10? I think to win a Super Bowl, you got to have top five quarterbacks in general. There's a couple of teams years ago that I think won without the New York Giants, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think were two examples of teams that won Super Bowls where they did not have a top 10, for sure, not top five quarterback. But he could be good. He could be top five or top 10. He could be good enough to put us in contention. And the team was really in contention. It really was. He didn't lose that game. I get it. We could have scored more. He could have completed more of those passes, and then maybe we'd just blow them out and win. The same could be said of the other team. But what we had in late fourth quarter was a one. Yeah, we won the game. We all but sealed the deal. The other phases of the game beat us. The offense's job is to put more points on the board than the other team, and the defense is to try to hold that number as low as possible. And of course, special teams is to make it as undramatic as possible. Hit field goals, kick the ball too far to be returned, or tackle them soon after they receive it. Of course, yes, force fumbles, all the jazz. But, you know, fundamentally, that's what we need them to do. They didn't do it. So that inspired me a little bit. Just sitting there listening to and reading these comments and being kind of frustrated with them and, you know, not enraged. I'm not that upset about it that I just stayed up till 2 a.m. making comments. That was on other groups. Just kidding. That was inspiring. And then I saw a video short on Facebook or YouTube. I think it was Facebook. Definitely Facebook. From my friend Jeff Compton of the Jaded Mechanic podcast. And he's kind of going off about developing or having patience with young people. I don't know. Those collide. When did we get so impatient? Were we always so impatient? I don't know. I don't think so. How many young people, and can we just, for the sake of discussion, call them kids, whatever that means, because some people think I'm really old and some people still call me a kid and whatever, and same goes for pretty much everybody else, right? Somebody somewhere is going to call him a kid, except Jim Morton. Sorry, just kidding. Somebody somewhere would. In fact, I will next time I see him. I just don't know that mistakes seem to be accepted. Like they knew they were going to make them. And I do agree. I think years ago, and by years ago, we're probably talking decades. I don't know what to assign that. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion, again, no hard evidence, 20 years ago plus, young people, kids, everybody was better about taking criticism, even if it wasn't well-constructed constructive criticism, or even well-constructed criticism. That could be a better acceptance of shame, which is something I talked about rather recently. And maybe because you're more apt to feel ashamed about your mistakes, that when the criticism came, you took it because you felt like you deserved it. And that was part of it. And is the newer generations, younger generations, the kids, not as apt to accept it? And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, it can be both, right? We can have good and bad things. There's positives and negatives to almost everything. Is that part of it? Is it that, yeah, they just, because they get so little of it, they're not prepared for it. And what we deem to be kid gloves isn't. or it's not received that way. But I do think, and I would have to agree with Jeff strongly, is it just seems to be very little patience. Maybe we forget what it was like when we were young. And also, like, what did we come up through? Like, it's hard for me to be overly critical of somebody that doesn't know something because I grew up on a farm. I grew up around a farm implement dealership, you know, with repairs or around outdoor power equipment, forestry and garden, you know, the chainsaws and the trimmers and the blowers, stuff that you guys may think I talk way too much about, but that's what I grew up around. So there's so much knowledge from that, just being around it. And I didn't have to make the mistakes. I made a lot of mistakes, a lot, but I didn't have to make all of them because somebody else made them. And because I was in that environment, they maybe said something or talked about it or joked around about it with somebody else. Or I got to see somebody make a mistake and then know not to make that mistake. Like, it's really, really good to learn from your mistakes. It's even better to learn from someone else's. So for me to sit there and think, oh my God, that's just, you know, why would you do that? Or how could you have done that? This is such common sense. What is common sense? It might be something we find very reasonable, but there's probably a reason we find it really reasonable. And do they have that? Could they have that? I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I think a lot of times we can pump the brakes and ask ourselves, should they have known that? And if they should, why? Why should they have known that? Well, it makes perfect sense. Yeah, okay. It makes perfect sense. How much do we have to twist this into a scenario where something makes perfect sense to somebody else and it does not make any sense to you because you do not have the experience, the background, the education, whatever it is, to arrive at that completely common sense idea or process or whatever you want to call that? I don't think it's that hard. I don't even think it deserves rattling off examples. I think you can come up with them on your own. Yeah, common sense isn't common because maybe it never was. Or the variation of experiences between people wasn't as great as it is nowadays. Or in some cases, maybe the variation is even more depending on what we're talking about and the perspective of that. So maybe you were more apt to be around people that parents did similar things. You know, if we're winding back the clock statistically, women were homemakers, right? And I say that with the utmost respect because I was raised by a homemaker. Really enjoyed a lot of the benefits of that, whether I appreciated it at the time or not. I do now. I say that with the utmost respect. NAPA Auto Tech training sessions are being conducted day and night in the town near you. This training caters to every level within your organization, be it a mechanical assistant, a mechanical specialist, a technology specialist, or a driver safety calibration specialist. Imagine a one-stop shop training partner in NAPA Auto Tech that will lead your team to a path to greatness. Auto Tech's entry-level Build-A-Tech classes convert the untapped potential of your new hires into money-making mechanical specialists. Auto Tech's higher-level tech update classes introduce specialists to the world of ever-changing technologies, which prevents your shop from getting technologically stagnant. Remember, if you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. And, turning to the front of the store, the Auto Tech Service Advisor class is an awesome way to hone your client advocate skill set, ultimately benefiting the customer through an improved vehicle repair experience. But it doesn't stop there. Imagine an electric vehicle class that takes your specialist well past the mundane, yet necessary, safety topics. Well, it's here. AutoTech's EV Ready Training is a week-long curriculum that takes participants through a hands-on experience involving hybrids and electric vehicles. The session kicks off with the use of PPE and proper tooling while touching on required OSHA regulations. Then, the students dive into the lab vehicles to gain knowledge of the common high-voltage components on EV and hybrid vehicles and their function. Attendees will be taken on a path exposing them to different electric vehicle manufacturers to compare component form and location. Additionally, information about Level 1 and Level 2 charging systems will be included, along with a quick look at DC to DC charging. The operation and maintenance of subsystems are explored, including the different modes of Tesla operations, and so much more. So what are you waiting for? Commit to taking your business to the next level with NAPA Auto Tech Training. Is your shop ready for the electric vehicle revolution? Don't get left behind. The PicoScope EV Kit is your all-in-one solution. Diagnose any electric or hybrid vehicle, from high voltage batteries to complex communication systems. With guided tests and pinpoint accuracy, you'll tackle more jobs and boost your bottom line. This isn't just a tool. It's your future. Be the expert in EV repair. Visit PicoAuto.com to future-proof your shop today. That's PicoAuto.com. You know, I'm sure this is the wrong side of the aisle for what I would say a lot of my ideas are, but I guess not too long ago, I said my political beliefs are all over the place. But if you choose to have a home with a homemaker, there's nothing really rewarding that other than being able to spend all that time with your kids and all that. But like financially, there's no social security, right? It'd be interesting if we found value in that. Just an idea. Biased because my mom. Anyways, most parents or mothers, the women, were homemakers. So you had that shared experience. As kids became, when I was little, they called them latchkey kids. I couldn't empathize or sympathize with them. I didn't know what that was like. It would be very odd for me to come home from school to an empty house until I got much older. And by then I had responsibilities. Like I went in the house long enough to put on my, you know, duds, work clothes and drop my books off, maybe catch an episode of Transformers. And then I was outside either feeding cows, cutting, splitting, stacking wood, all the things, or farm work. So that was very odd. And I had friends that came home to empty houses and I didn't know what it was like. Some of them really liked it. Some of them didn't. We had that sort of non-variation. And then nowadays, both parents probably work. Who knows what they do? And then the entertainment end of things, most kids, screens, right? So they share that. So, I mean, that's maybe a long way around to explaining my idea with how some things there's wide variation and in other cases, a narrow variation, all playing to how many of these young people, how many of these kids coming into our profession are going to have any background whatsoever and much for mechanical to know the difference between, you know, a hex socket and a Torx. So we spend a lot of time teaching stuff that we find utterly mundane, utterly common sense. And yet most of us grew up around it. So yeah, where do we lose this patience? And it isn't just auto repair, right? I just illustrated in the sports world, lack of patience there. So yeah, what is the right thing to do? And I gotta believe fundamentally is, are they coming to work? Are they there on time? Are they showing some of the basics, the basic base fundamental expectations? For the most part, do they not make the same mistake twice? Now, that has to have some contingencies, right? I think we all are very well aware of mistakes we make over and over again because of the frequency of which we do whatever task as to not make that mistake and not call it an outright mistake, but maybe we're just not so efficient at it, right? A lab scope use. If you're not using it regularly, a lot of times you lose the proficiency with it. So it's been months since you've used it. Now you may not quite remember how to do something. You don't know what button does what, where all the pieces are, whatever. Or you went to a training class and the content is fresh on your mind and you don't get to use it for 6 months, a year. And if you didn't take extremely detailed notes, which is asking a lot in a class when they're throwing out information at you to be writing detailed notes, but if you didn't leave notes enough for you to remember the class really well to go to the book to review, a lot of that's almost gone. Well, it's not so much different for them, even if that window of time might be narrower than we find reasonable. But in general, if they're picking it up and learning, then I think we have to start exercising patience and we have to be structuring the business to be able to shoulder that load. I get it. Not every shop can be set up that way. You may only have a few bays and the people that are in there, you need to be able to go right out the gate. But some of other shops, typically larger, where there is room to have an entry level tech, an apprentice level tech, technical specialist, mechanical specialist, right? Apprentice level, entry level, that we have to be able to build into our systems the ability to shoulder the load of them not producing. we just have to do it. If you're going to grow your own, that's one of the paths, probably the path. So I guess the whole point of this is just to call into question, why the lack of patience? That's not to say when you hire the late 20-something or mid-20-something, 30-something that has decade or two of experience and they've got all, you know, the resume and all that, and then they show up and they can't go. Fine, that's a different thing. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that fresh out of school, maybe they didn't go to school or you know, trade school, technical college, stuff like that. Strand them on the lube rack, if even that. And then when we start bringing them out and doing more, just never being satisfied. And our criticisms just cutting. I don't even know if it's like a sharp blade. Sharp blade probably be better. Dull blades. A spoon. Cut their heart out with a spoon. Why not a knife? Because it'll hurt more, right? That we just gotta try to remember what it was like. And then if you grew up in a shop environment or just spent so much time out in the garage or shed or whatever with your whoever, the neighbor, an uncle, brother, sister, mom, whoever did it, you have experiences that they don't. They can't get that. The only way they're going to get that is with where they are now. They didn't get to choose their childhoods. They didn't get to choose when they got when they were born. They're choosing to be in this now. And yeah, they do have to demonstrate the ability to learn. And can we teach them how to learn as best as possible? And I ain't saying that's easy. Usually it's bits and pieces, right? Little chunks at a time. And then just as best we can, set them up to succeed. Offer encouragement probably when they're expecting anything but. And then, yeah, you might have to have a few sit-downs where you have to echo concerns. I'm concerned with this mistake being made over and over again. This career is hard. The power of and. Stop saying but. And. Michael Jordan got cut from his high school basketball team, missed lots of shots, lost lots of games, didn't always hit the game winner. In fact, as interesting as it would seem, you know, all the highlights we see with Michael Jordan hitting game-winning shots, Pat Riley, a coach for the Los Angeles Lakers during the Showtime years with Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and James Worthy, then coach of the New York Knicks with Patrick Ewing when they went to the finals against Houston, said that if he could pick one player to have the last shot to win a game, it'd be Michael Jordan. If he had to pick somebody to take a shot to save his life, Larry Bird. All that saying is, we think of Michael Jordan as being potentially the greatest basketball player to ever live. Maybe, you know, it's getting harder and harder with modern basketball to have actual positions, but he's in that conversation regardless. And if you were to start a team just picking players throughout history at their peaks, I'm not sure too many people start a team without him. So that says a lot. And that's a lot of failures, quote unquote failures, to be recognized as the greatest at something. Muhammad Ali, I mean, his nickname is the greatest. He lost a lot of fights. If you watch UFC, one of my real frustrations with John Jones is he seems to be trying to protect a record, not a legacy, and misassociating. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's part of it too. We misassociate a perfect record with greatness. And yet those that we would say are the greatest have plenty of losses. And because of those losses, it usually meant they never dodged anybody. They didn't Floyd Mayweather anybody. They took on all comers and they won a lot and they lost some. That shouldn't be forgotten. When that kid screws up, think about that. Yeah. Maybe you don't have to think about your own career because I don't know. Somehow our biases make it out that we were much better at what we did than we really were. We didn't make the mistakes we thought we did. Or I should say, we didn't make the mistakes that we think we didn't make. Start thinking about all those greatests at something and then really look at their records and really look at the stats. I mean, the greatest baseball hitter in history is under 40%. Not a terrific example, but still, you make the Hall of Fame. Baseball, if you hit the ball 25% of the time or 30% of the time for sure. So yeah, maybe take that in consideration where you're ready to ball somebody out, or even if you're not really balling them out, how you're going about criticizing, they may not be equipped for. And we can help with that. I think I have enough time in this because otherwise I find myself going to roll right into how this profession can really help out with the war on young men. So that'll have to be a different episode. And that's how I'll leave you. I really, really appreciate you listening. I really appreciate the messages and emails. My email is mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. Don't hesitate to send emails with ideas. I really appreciate the comments and the feedback. Instant messages through Facebook. I really appreciate all those that have been coming in. Thank you again to our sponsors, Pico Technology and Napa Autotech Training. And thank you to the Automotive Repair Podcast Network, formerly the ARN, now the ARPN. Until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.